more often associated with Buddhism. There's a move among some Christians to encourage the practice of mindfulness within their faith to help reduce the stresses and strains of modern life and perhaps reclaim some of the art of contemplation. It's the topic of a conference being held next month in Edinburgh. I'm joined by Richard Johnston, co-founder of the National Mindfulness Day for Christians Conference, and Belinda Norrington, lead for pastoral and well-being development at Zeo Church in Hitchin. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Richard, first of all, mindfulness, it's a bit of a buzzword, isn't it, for a few years now, but what do we understand by the term?
Well, I think that mindfulness primarily relates to attention and awareness, the development of our capacity for attention and awareness. And recently it's been very much in the news because of the mental health benefits that are involved with mindfulness practice and the development of that muscle of attention.
And what specifically, Belinda, do you mean by Christian mindfulness?
Well, my understanding, my experience of it, is that it's not just awareness of the present moment, but also of the love of God holding that moment and holding me in that moment. So it's awareness both of myself and the moment, but also of God's presence and God's love in that moment.
What would you add to that, Richard? Because if mindfulness is about living in the moment and seeking that quietude, if you like, in a sense, when you bring the idea of faith, with that comes, I suppose, the self-criticism and the analysis and so on, that some people might say, well, it's not very mindful, I'm now getting quite anxious.
I think from a Christian point of view, it would involve a biblical worldview. So looking at the environment and awareness of the environment that we live in, nature, the beauty of nature, God's creation that is all around us, and how we can experience the presence of God with us in every single moment of our lives. It's also about self-awareness, and that's where the mental health benefits begin to come in. But also it's about awareness of other people. You have the parable of the Good Samaritan who was walking down the road and saw the other man in need, and he reached out with compassion, to show compassion. So he was aware of the needs of another person. So it encompasses the whole of life, mindfulness.
And what got you, first of all, Richard, involved?
Well, I've practiced Christian forms of meditation for over 20 years. But maybe in the last 5 or 6 years, I've used the word mindfulness more and more. Primarily, that was because I was introduced to mindfulness through a professor in psychiatry at Glasgow University. And one of his colleagues introduced me to mindfulness at a time in my own life when I was struggling with depression.
And Belinda, what brought you to mindfulness?
Yes, well, actually, I wasn't seeking mindfulness at all initially. I was actually on a course run by my local church, and the pastor there suggested that everybody added a new practice, which he called 2-2-2, which was 2 minutes of Bible reading, 2 minutes of prayer, and 2 minutes of silence. And I'd actually been a Christian for a long time, so that the Bible reading and the prayer were very familiar. But the silence part just absolutely floored me. I couldn't believe how many thoughts I had sort of running around my brain when I just tried to be quiet on my own. It's almost like, you know, when you open up a laptop and see how many tabs you've left open. I felt like there were so many tabs open in my own mind. And I was just really sort of surprised how almost sort of twitchy and vulnerable I felt just sitting there doing nothing. And but as I kept doing it every day, that kind of discomfort and almost like annoyance gave way to a bit more curiosity, really. And I finally sensed that there was, behind my kind of busy, scattered thoughts, there was just a quieter, gentler awareness. And that got me really interested. So I started reading a bit more about contemplative prayer and mindfulness and so on. And I eventually did the secular MBSR mindfulness course. That was the autumn of 2017, and that included a whole day of silent retreat, which was also quite sort of challenging. And since then, I've been to some conferences, I've done more reading, I've just kept the practice going, and I'm now doing actually one of Richard's online accredited mindfulness, Christian mindfulness courses. So it's just been a bit of a journey over the last few years for me.
Absolutely. And in practical terms, though, was it difficult or quite easy to get into, because for a lot of people listening, they say, well, that's fine if you've got the time, but if you've got if you're working full time or you've got family issues and so on.
Well, I mean, I think that's what the beauty of it was for me in the beginning, was like it was just suggested for 2 minutes, and I think that was, you know, it's a good challenge that most people can find 2 minutes. And even if it just starts at that point, that's actually a really good beginning. And that can be quite challenging in itself at the beginning, just to be 2 minutes silence. But also, I think it's something that you can just take out into your day. It doesn't have to be something separate from what you're doing. You can, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can just begin to take small pauses, and just try and be a little bit more mindful doing the things that you normally do in your everyday life.
I was reading, Richard, I think it's one of many books that are available now, about taking the time between absorbing something and reacting to it, you know, and just stopping for those 2 minutes or even longer. And I suppose some would say it's something we had that existed within the Christian tradition, but it was something that we lost, you know, this tradition of contemplation. Would you see it as an attempt to reclaim some of that?
Well, I think the church has been going through a process over many years of reclaiming the contemplative aspect of our faith. You know, perhaps the Reformation, a lot of, you know, maybe the baby with the thrown out with the bathwater kind of thing, in terms of contemplative practices, and it became much more of a focus on cerebral and academic and theological understanding rather than spiritual awareness of God with us.
And I suppose critics of mindfulness would say that it can be quite introspective, and it makes people perhaps lose their drive, focus on themselves, and that some kind of ethical framework is required to prevent that happening. Is that where Christian mindfulness comes in?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's not just about self-focus. However, greater development of self-awareness is really important, especially in terms of mental health. We all have what you could describe as an inner critic, you know, the voice that beats up on yourself inside your head when you get things wrong. And mindfulness is really good at helping us identify that voice and not to attach to that voice and perpetuate those negative thoughts. So we step back, we find that place of peace, and we develop self-compassion.
Belinda, I suppose there are people who might be concerned that it can be used as a band-aid, and perhaps that when really the issue could be either a stressful working environment or other factors, and that it requires more than mindfulness.
Yes, I mean, I think that is something that's been levelled particularly at a bit sort of cynical tokenism, maybe, by some companies or organisations, that instead of addressing some of their sort of systematic problems that are putting pressure on their workforce, that they're just sort of offering, you know, a quick mindfulness session at lunchtime or something like that, and not addressing deeper issues. So, and I think it's true that any practice can be misunderstood a bit or misused a bit. That's just the case, but I think I would sort of second what Richard said, is that actually part of mindfulness is developing some space in which to make good discernment and better decisions, and in a sense it's quite transforming in that way, because you're opening up some space instead of jumping into some of your kind of automatic pilot perhaps type decisions. You're actually giving yourself some space to make some better decisions, creating a bit of space between sort of stimulus and response. I think the Austrian psychiatrist Viktor Frankl spoke about that, didn't he? Mm. But that in that space is our power to choose response, and there can be real growth and freedom in creating some of that space, and I think mindfulness does that very effectively.
Well, thank you both very much indeed, Richard Johnston and Belinda Norrington. And the National Mindfulness Day for Christians Conference is taking place in Edinburgh. That's on Saturday, the 23rd of March. Before noon, one of the voices...